the word go forth.
Fool me once.
Are you fired up?
I'm not a crook.
Are you ready to go?
Shame on you.
It's Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, hosted by Ben Kissel.
Boom, we can't get fooled again.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Fernando.
Hi, Ben.
And Travis Irvine.
Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy 2023, everybody. Hope you're doing well out there. Thank you all so much for listening. We have a fantastic debut? Episode for 2023.
Debut.
We're going to discuss what's going on in the House of Representatives right now. Kevin McCarthy so badly wants to be Speaker of the House. He raised $500 million for the RNC, and he said, this is going to guarantee me a position at the top. It turns out other people have different ideas of who they would like to be Speaker, and Travis Irvine will break down everything that you need to know about the chaos, the constructive chaos, perhaps, that's going on currently in Washington, D.C. We'll also discuss a fun smattering of stories regarding Donald Trump and, of course, his blaming of abortion and, of course, the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade being the reason why his people lost in the midterms. The irony is so thick you could swim through it. Or, of course, it's a clam chowder. Put a spoon in it. And of course, eat the glorious, glorious chunks of Trump's flesh as his power wanes. Of Kevin McCarthy backed by Donald Trump. Yep. And Kevin McCarthy, of course, backing Donald Trump. This is another proxy war, perhaps, between members of the Republican Party against their former leader. So we have a lot to get to today. The first thing let's get to is a hidden gem by a dude named Coy Griffin. Now, Coy Griffin, it's not just a clever name. He's also a cowboy.
Oh.
And he's a cowboy for Trump because they love to ride them horses and get buck wild.
Yeah. Woo. That's what they do out there.
Marcus Parks of Last Podcast on the Left has some cousins who are actual cowboys. And believe it or not, they did indeed have sex with the cattle, but only the women, only the female.
The girl cattle.
That's right.
Because they're gay. So we know what we have to have in this country, which is criminal justice reform, specifically when it comes to our jails as well. They are horrible places. Mm-hmm. If you had a chance to read Damien Echols' book, Life After Death, he discusses what his experience was like, I believe, in Arkansas jail. And they are nasty, inhumane, and disgusting. And of course, where the state goes, so does the country. And we need to have more humane conditions for people who are accused of a crime. In this case, I will say the same thing for Coy Griffin, again, a cowboy for Trump, who was there on January 6th. Not just there, he is currently a defendant. He was in the Capitol, and he wanted to have an insurrection. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to happen, because otherwise we would have Coy Griffin as Secretary of Defense.
Oh, man,
I'll tell you one thing. When we start sending those cowboys over to Ukraine, we're really going to start turning the tide of that war, probably in favor of Putin, which is what he would like to have happen. So let's play this dude talking about the hellacious conditions of the downtown D.C. jail. Again, they were there 2 years ago, almost to the day, to overthrow and upend a legal American election. Of course, we have President Joe Biden in office, so you can assume that they did not win.
Didn't work out.
Let's play Coy Griffin shedding light on a story. Even Coy doesn't deserve this. On a story that needs to be discussed more in this country, the inhumane conditions of the American penal system.
Downtown DC jail, man, where I spent the first night. Oh, Neil, dude, I tell you what, I can't even explain to you how terrible that place was. The bugs in this place, the walls were just like moving with bugs, man, like every different kind of bug you can imagine. And I mean, this place was scary.
It was scary. And of course,
it was scary. All the bugs. Yeah. Try getting an apartment in Bushwick, Coy. Good grief.
Well, Coy needs to take his little floss and make a little lasso. Mm. And then he can try to get all the little cockroaches with his little floss lasso.
It's kind of funny.
And then he can
rein them in.
And then he can try to train them and perhaps do circus tricks. But truly, of course, when it comes to Coy, there might be a positive upside to some of these J6ers hanging out in a DC jail where they can start to understand some of the grievances right. that people who have been detained have. Mm-hmm. You know, he was there for only one night and the guy could barely freaking handle it. My understanding is the cowboys aren't so afraid of bugs, but of course he's a cowboy in hat only because he doesn't work on a ranch. And again, I don't think that he has had sex with any cattle anytime soon out of loneliness.
Which
makes it acceptable.
It's like Brokeback Mountain, but there's only one of you out there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, speaking, go on.
Fernando. So the thing about what this whole issue with what's happening with this guy is the Republicans tend to have a feeling that prisoners are treated too well. That they're, you know, I hear that a lot. Oh, we're wasting our taxpayer money on them. The jail system feeds them lobsters on Fridays.
I love Gout Fridays.
Basically lies. So when you talk about them being forced to experience DC jails, they see what regular people are going through.
Absolutely.
They see what people that don't have the money to bail out of jail are going through specifically.
And of course, many people who are in the DC jail aren't there because they tried to upend an election. Many are there for, you know, thievery, perhaps falsely accused, or God knows what else. And some, of course, need to be there. And some, of course, don't deserve to be there. I would say Coy, given what he did on January 6th, nearly 2 years ago, probably needed to have a couple of nights in the pokey just to think about maybe that wasn't the smartest decision, despite the fact he got to take a piss on Nancy Pelosi's desk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not so much a cowboy as a coy boy right here.
Whoa.
I mean, good grief. I also thought it was interesting. Two other interesting things for me. Number one, I've never heard a cowboy use the term dude. I thought, you know, there are surfers who can say cowabunga. I don't know if cowboys can say dude. I don't know if it works both ways on this one. But I thought it was interesting that he highlighted that he was in a DC jail. And that's where I'm like, I don't know if people like him will actually learn anything about the criminal justice system. I think he thinks that if he was in a good old fashioned Texas jail, wouldn't have been as bad, you know, down where he's from.
He's from Otero County, New Mexico, by the way.
New Mexico, even then, yeah. But I thought it was interesting. He was like, oh, it's the DC jails, aka Liberal City, so on and so forth. So I don't know if Mr. Coy learns anything from this experience or not, or he'll just bitch about it on podcast.
Yeah, well, we do know for a fact that the jail systems in this country are absolutely atrocious. Look no further than Rikers Island, a place that was supposed to be shut down, perhaps, or at the very least reevaluated and redone. Get Chip and JoJo in there to do a little fixer-upper, perhaps. Mm. I spent the one night in the pokey there in New York City for having a outstanding warrant for drinking on a stoop. Mm-hmm. I'm always on brand. And it was the single most disgusting place you can ever imagine. Ugh. The smell is something that is difficult to describe. And I say that because all they do is give you old 2% milk and feed you cheese sandwiches. Once every 3 hours, an inmate would come in who was obviously in the jail, throw a bucket of bleach on the ground and walk out. So it smells like bleach, bad cheese, stale milk, humid shit, and piss. And I couldn't see because there's 8 cells and you can't see the other cells. You can only see the one that's right across from you. But it sounded like as if someone was getting beaten to death just down the way. And that was only 25 hours that I was in there. So you can imagine if you're in there for a longer amount of time, the cold, cruel nature of the United States jail system is, at the very least, it must have been enlightening for Coy and a lot of the other people who thought that they were going to cosplay revolutionary.
Right. And I do think it's interesting because I remember you speaking about this experience when you ran for Brooklyn Borough president, and it obviously was eye-opening for you. It is also interesting that you spent more time in jail for drinking on a stoop than Coy did for doing checks notes in insurrection.
Yeah,
good
well,
grief, man.
I would like to say that Coy was probably sober for that, but now that I'm thinking about it, no, he was also hammered.
Had to be.
Anyway, you mentioned lies, Fernando. That's going to bring us to our second story here. George Santos.
Oh, also out of New York.
Also out of New York. Of course, he's a new House member. And who is he going to be voting for? Who gives a shit? We'll get to the House here in a second. But let's start with Santos. Some of the lies that this man said in order to get elected are causing people to feel as if they were, let's see here, scammed. Because Santos is indeed a scam artist. Some of these lies are so over the top, it's like medical. He has like yes. a disease.
Yeah, yeah, really.
And just for context, this is yes. the fellow who won one. He flipped a district in Long Island. That's yes. right. He's a Republican.
Well, he flipped a Democratic district in Long Island. And Travis, before the show, you were saying something about how New York cut up their districts.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things that, again, we're only dealing with a potential McCarthy speakership, TBD, obviously, as of this recording. But it's only because Republicans won seats predominantly in California and New York. And you would think, oh, those are Democrat states. But what happened in those states when it came to redistricting in the most recent redistricting process, that instead of gerrymandering everything for themselves, the Democrats in those two states, New York and California, they actually did it fairly. Mm. So you saw a lot of flipping of blue districts to go red, specifically in New York. And California, specifically in New York, they flipped five seats that went red. So that's a lot of the reason we're even dealing with a potential McCarthy speakership is because the districts were drawn fairly by Democrats. But then people like George Santos somehow won.
Hey, you know, give them the rope and let them do the rest on their own, because Santos Absolutely. Is certainly hanging on by a thread here. And yes, if this is the outcome of those districts and it's a fairly redistrict, mm-hmm. if the redistricting is fair, okay, so be it. Right. Let the cards lie where they may. So one of the lies that this is one of the most innocent lies that he attended Horace Mann Private School.
Oh, that's a nice innocent lie.
No, he didn't. He says, yes, he says, in my senior year of prep school, unfortunately, my parents fell on hard times, which was something that would later become known as the Depression of 2008. But the school searched their records and they found no evidence Ooh. Of him attending Horace Mann.
Boy.
He also says he earned degrees from New York University and Baruch College. But believe it or not, they say, no, that dude was never here. We've smelled the bathrooms and he did not at all defecate here. He also says that he owned 13 rental properties.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
None of that is true whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
This is what he tweeted. He says, will we landlords ever be able to take back possession of our property? Ugh. The state is collecting their tax, yet we get zero help from the government. We worked hard to acquire these assets. Now it almost feels like we're being punished. He doesn't own any properties.
Ugh. Oh, wow.
My favorite one, and this is perhaps, it's not the last one, but it's my favorite one. And it's perhaps the most egregious, depending on your religious affiliation.
Hmm.
He said he's a proud American Jew whose grandparents escaped the Holocaust.
Oh, well, good for him.
The video launched to his campaign in 2021 says, I've seen how socialism destroys people's lives because my grandparents survived the Holocaust. And of course, by his logic, all of ours did, too, because they weren't in it.
Oh, you know? Right.
But anyway.
Yeah, his parents were in Brazil. Not
yes.
Nazis.
Yes. He later elaborated saying that his maternal grandfather migrated in the late 20s from Ukraine to Belgium, where he met his grandmother. For a lot of people who are descendants of the World War II, refugees or survivors of the Holocaust, a lot of names and paperwork were changed in the name of survival. So I don't carry the family's last name. He also said he was a proud American Jew, as I mentioned. However, mm-hmm. he has recently had to take those claims back because it has proven that indeed he is not at all Jewish. Instead, he is Catholic. This is what Santos Whoa. Said. Santos says, I never claimed to be Jewish. He says, I'm Catholic. But because I learned my maternal family had Jewish background, I said I was Jew-ish.
Oh my gosh. The new hit show coming to ABC. Jew-ish. Right after Black-ish.
I'll have some gefilte-ish.
Oh my God. Give me another bagel-ish, please. And
again, records show that his parents were in Brazil before the rise of Nazi power. So, you know, the whole, his whole timeline. You know,
there's something
down.
About this that makes me sad for his self-esteem. You know, obviously at this point he's living as an openly gay man. He was married previously. I, again, people do change that. It is fluid. I saw some interviews with him. He seems gay to me. But even his ex-boyfriend was like, I don't even know. I just don't know.
I mean, I do. I feel like he got too used to living in the lies, Ben. You know, he had to pretend not to be gay for so long that he got used to living in the lies. And now when you ask him, why aren't you scared of the pandemic? He goes, well, I have a brain tumor and my immune system is bad, but I'm not scared of the pandemic. When you actually don't have a brain tumor.
It's not a tumor.
He also claimed that his employees had been killed in the Pulse nightclub shooting.
This is the thing when it comes to lies of this nature.
Right.
These are really serious lies.
Tumors are really messed up.
Tumors. The Pulse nightclub shooting. The Holocaust.
Yes. Yeah.
September 11th, which is another lie that he made, saying that his mom was a groundbreaking executive who died as a result of the September 11th attack. She died in 2016.
Oh my God!
Not even close.
This is pathological. This is like the less fun version of the Steven Spielberg movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, the Catch Me If You Can.
Right.
The guy he was a con man every single step of the way. But this isn't even fun.
No, and there's more lies. They continue. He says that he has a charity that he does not have. Oh, he doesn't have a charity. It just goes on and on. When it comes to the charity, he says it's the Friends of Pets United and that it has rescued more than 2,500 dogs and cats. Mm. So what do we love the most? Dogs or animals, right. If you love cats. And what do we take most seriously? 9/11, the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, my God.
Mass shootings.
Right. Oh,
no. It's just like so insane that he wouldn't think that people were going to find out about this. The only thing that he actually did do was another thing that he lied about when he said he wasn't a criminal. In 2008, he was arrested for stealing checks.
Oh, boy.
He fraudulently spent $700 on a pair of shoes.
Oh, wow.
Again, which is why I do believe he's gay.
Right. That's a lot for shoes.
Oh, my God. Do you think he stole a whole checkbook from a man for whom his mother was working as a nurse? Okay, so.
The mom who died in September 11th, right?
Yes, who is still alive in 2008, who died in 2016.
Yeah, right.
She's died multiple times.
Great.
He also says he got mugged in 2016. It didn't happen.
Good grief.
He says he bought tickets for a Hawaii vacation. Indeed, he did not. They were given to him, and then he never paid the person back.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, man.
It's what Travis says. It's a medical pathological thing. This isn't normal.
Now, my question, though, is, okay, so if you go into a store and you're like, I want to buy that couch, and then they deliver you a turtle, you get a refund.
Right.
So do the people in this district get to, they didn't know who they were voting for.
Right.
It's all lies. So what do you, is there a recount? Is there any way to get rid of this guy?
I mean, you have to wonder. I mean, first of all, depending on what happens with the speakership, if and when there is a speaker, again, TBD, they could potentially expel him from Congress. That is something
they can.
But would the Republicans do that? I mean, again, back to Kevin McCarthy, he backed Santos's candidacy. And then once Santos was elected, McCarthy gave him the thumbs up and was like, good job. But I wonder if there is a New York State process where, again, to your point, you know, we in California, right, they tried to recall Gavin Newsom. There is a recall process in different places. I don't know if there is one in place in New York State where the voters could, like you said, just have an honest decision to make with honest people. But beyond that, I'm not sure. The question is, would McCarthy or whoever ends up being the speaker even dare to expel a man as fraudulent as George Santos when, quite honestly, he fits right in up there.
Well, that's true. I think the problem is he just got caught in his lies, which is
there were so many of them.
His entire life is a lie, and to watch him sweat it out, I must say, is quite entertaining. as everyone who is new to the Capitol seems to be getting lost in the hallways as journalists shout questions at them, including Santos himself, where he just, I think, walked into a wall like Casey Anthony when she was pretending as if she worked at that one, I think, Disney or something.
Orlando Studios or something.
Yeah, Orlando Studios. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that would say that they wouldn't vote Republican again.
Right.
If he, right. You know, and of course, this is Congress. It's a 2-year term. Mm-hmm. It's not the most amount of time. If I'm Santos, though, like, you're not wanted at the party. It must suck. Like, he was just sitting alone during the entire conversation regarding McCarthy, which we're going to get to here in a second. He's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs with his little sweater vest on, looking like a slightly less gay Chuck Grassley. I mean, it's like, you know when it like turns where you're like, all right, buddy, I know you made a mistake, but let's like, I almost want to help him because I think he's about to go like jump off a goddamn bridge, but then he'll also just lie about that. Yeah.
I jumped off many bridges already. I
committed suicide 8 times.
Oh my God.
It's my 9th life. I'm a cat. I don't know if you know that. I'm a cat.
He's Puss in Boots. Very
nice. Puss in Boots.
You see, the issue with this is it's kind of personal because I wish as a gay man, he wasn't up there making an ass of himself. Because when you're the one gay dude in a group of 200 people and you make an ass of yourself, it makes all gay dudes look crazy.
Well, there's a couple of more in the house, but yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not.
Well, but not on the Republican side. I mean, I can't. Yeah. No, I mean, like you said, most of them keep that shit quiet and lie about it themselves. So
yeah, I've seen Marjorie Taylor Greene work out. I'm pretty sure.
She's a man. MTG stands for a man to go, folks.
Folks, let's do a genital check, folks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I lost my arms in the war. I'll just use my mouth. I don't know. Anyway, it is funny, but it also is serious because this guy is an elected official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has power. And, of course, he conned every single person who voted for him. And yes. I would love to see if there was a recount of you know, how those votes would fall, and who knows. I just wonder, like, why does he have such a low self-esteem? Like, what is his real story? Like, is it other than stealing checks in 2008, which is the only thing that has been proven to be true,
right?
Like, isn't there anything? He just doesn't, he really thought he had to be extra. It's like lying on a first date about your Corvette,
right.
And then you show up and you're like, it's in the shop. It's in the shop again. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And yeah, I gotta pick up my girlfriend, but she's at a summer camp in Canada. You can't meet her right now.
Canada. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Yes.
I almost see it as almost a symptom of that Republican disconnect from reality. Like, he thought no one would ever he thought no one was gonna fact check him or would ever be able to fact check him.
Or just politicians in general. You have to lie until you make it, I suppose. And in order to run for a lot of these positions, you have to have a personality that's you know, thinking that you're deserving.
Right.
Sure. Fake it till you make it.
Yes. Fake it till you make it. All right. Well, speaking of making it, let's get into the biggest story of the week. Kevin McCarthy, again, a man who has raised a boatload of money for Republicans, thought he could buy himself the speakership. It turns out that might not be the case. Of course, he would love to be Republican speaker with such a long, great history of individuals like Dennis Hastert. Why not follow in the footsteps of Dennis Hastert? You know, Dennis Hastert is walking around because you see two small footprints behind him, which are children. He is a pedophile, a sexual predator, and former Speaker of the House. And of course, that's a position McCarthy wants to fill. With a name like McCarthy, you know you can trust him. So, Travis, can you give us what the F is going on here?
Right. Well, so the first week, the first Tuesday of every year is when new House members are sworn in. But before they can even swear in all the representative elects, what has to happen is they elect a Speaker of the House, because the Speaker of the House does all the swearing in. And it's ceremonial, but it's also, you know, a very official process.
So they go in and they say, you fucking bitch, you fucking, see you next Thursday, you mean woman with the lisp, you cunt. And they just kind of curse in the Capitol.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. That is 100%.
I'm on fire in 2023. What a brilliant joke.
Folks. So this was all supposed to go down on Tuesday, January 3rd this week.
Yes.
And of course, as we all know, the Republicans won, as we discussed, thanks to fair redistricting in New York and California. The Republicans gained some seats and the writing was on the wall. Nancy Pelosi stepped aside. She allowed Hakeem Jeffries to become the new Democrat leader.
Irvine, that's not writing, Irvine. Those are bugs. I've been trying to lasso those bugs, actually, for the last 18 hours here in the D.C. gulag. And I haven't gotten goddamn. Well, I don't think I'm a very good cowboy.
Well, that's a very coy thing to do of you, Coy.
Thank you.
So here we are. Hakeem Jeffries is your Democrat leader.
Yes.
Kevin McCarthy is your Republican leader, and he is basically, because the Republicans won more seats out of the 435 seats over there in the U.S. House of Representatives, he is destined to be Speaker. Now, the problem is that they do a roll call vote, and they have to have 218 votes. That's how many votes it takes for you to become the Speaker of the House. And it's a very slim lead right now for the Republicans, right?
Right. When you say roll call, this is this is in public, and do they they express yay or nay vocally in front of their peers?
They say a name. So they roll call all 435 folks there in the U.S. House representatives, including your representative elects, even before they're sworn in, and they all get to say a name of who they want to be Speaker.
Gotcha.
And what happened this week was that McCarthy thought he had the votes on Tuesday, January 3rd, and they went in and they had some Republicans, and these are Republicans' names that you know. It's your Matt Gaetz's, it's your Lauren Boebert's. It's also some new people that I don't even remember their names, but they are essentially all there because they are elected.
And well, Andy Biggs, speaking of January 6th, Biggs, a big name behind J6 also.
Exactly. And that's where you would probably know a lot of these folks from, was from 2 years ago. They also did obstructionist things by aiding and abetting an insurrection. Now they're just kind of holding up the speakership vote in their own Republican caucus.
But isn't that one of the interesting things? Obviously, January 6th. Completely out of hand, totally horrible in every sense of the word. And now we see them. Have they honed the practice of destabilizing the government? Is this like they said, oh, well, we tried again to go sniff AOC shoes. Didn't work out. I spent a night in the gulag. Is this their, have they learned that, no, let's go through it the procedural way?
Right. They like to hold up procedure. I mean, they are obstructionists at best. They are, chaos magic at worst at this point, because that's the big question. And again, as of this recording, McCarthy had failed again on a sixth vote to acquire the full 218 votes.
Please, sir, may I have another? May I have another? After they ask me to leave the fifth time,
right?
That's when I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to go. Fine. Right. And when I'm gone, y'all going to miss me? You're going to miss me?
You're going to miss me when I'm gone. But that's the thing. He's not gone. He keeps trying. He keeps thinking he has the votes. And that's what's so puzzling about this whole thing, is that if he didn't have the votes, and then you were proven to not have the votes after the third time, the fourth time, fifth time.
Less and less votes.
Could sixth time be a charm? Yes. And that's the other thing for now. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
He keeps getting less and less votes. So on Tuesday, January 3rd, it was about 19 or 20 or so Republicans kept voting for Jim Jordan. And then Kevin McCarthy has already promised Jim Jordan to be committee chair of the Judiciary Committee.
Huge.
So Jim Jordan actually went on the second or third vote and nominated Kevin McCarthy himself, showing that he didn't want to be Speaker. It didn't matter. And then as of Wednesday, January 4th, what these 19 to 20 or so folks, and I believe on the last vote I saw, he even lost one more. It was 20 votes for a man named Byron Donalds, who is a Republican out of Florida. So now Lauren Boebert's, your Matt Gaetz's, they're putting their energy behind a dark horse candidate. So it's not even Jim Jordan. And then I believe McCarthy lost another representative out of Indiana who just voted present. And that's the other technique that again, where does this go?
Yeah.
It's just, does McCarthy rein in these 20 folks? He's already promised them everything he thought that they wanted, so that doesn't seem to be the answer. Or yeah. are these folks going to keep holding up the vote until they replace it, Kevin McCarthy, because it's actually personal? They just personally don't like Kevin McCarthy, and you may have to replace him with a Steve Scalise or someone else who's adjacent to Republican leadership, who's literally just not Kevin McCarthy.
And I want to talk to you about the people who are against Kevin McCarthy. But before that, when it comes to Donalds, again, this is the first time that many people are hearing his name. That's Representative Byron Donalds. He's out of Florida. He's a 44-year-old former businessman. He is a conservative. He's outspoken. He's anti-abortion. Obviously, he would be supporting gun rights. And he had been considered a supporter of former President Donald Trump. His loyalty was taken into question in the 2022 midterms. So he's not seen any longer as a massive MAGA supporter, because obviously we saw the disaster that was 2022 for MAGA Republicans and the Republican Party as a whole. So when it comes to the people who are against Kevin McCarthy, again, a man who was sucking on that orange teat, Orange Julius, he loves Trump and Trump loves him. Donald Trump took to one of his social media platforms and said, just get it done, right. Vote for him. Please, let's move on with the process. What does this mean for Matt Gaetz, Boebert, Biggs, these people who were in Trump's orbit and in his favor and vice versa? It seems like they are trying to expel that him from their Republican brand.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. It's also guys like Chip Roy. Chip Roy was one of the guys who threw Byron Donalds' name into the ring in the first place, on the fourth ballot to kick off the festivities again on January 4th. So it is very pleasant because Trump does play a role. You know, Trump, as you said, even posted on whatever social media platform he's on right now, all Republicans should vote for McCarthy for Speaker. He's even apparently placed phone calls. Lauren Boebert was on the floor as of today complaining again that just because McCarthy has raised the most money doesn't mean he should automatically be Speaker. She even called out McCarthy for having Trump call some of these representatives to try and sway them.
Yeah.
She even said, this isn't going to work. So you're absolutely right. It shows after the midterm elections, I know we're going to get to Trump's big excuse as to why his candidates failed in the midterms.
There's one,
but this
big
is
one.
Another failure. This is yet another failure on his part, where you have these candidates who are quote unquote MAGA Republicans, but they can't even be swayed by the big man himself. So what do they want? Where does this go? As of now, right. We don't know.
I have a question then, Travis. So the Republicans, are they just being obstructionist, or is it they actually just don't like McCarthy, or is there like a secret third plan that we're not seeing? Like McCarthy's too moderate for them and they want someone more conservative like Jim Jordan, even though Jim Jordan has said, I don't want this. So is there a secret third plan that we're just not seeing, or is it just they really just don't like McCarthy?
Yeah, well, that's what everyone's trying to speculate right now. Number one is you keep holding out on this vote. You keep holding out on McCarthy so he gives you everything that you actually want. Well, he's already done that. He's already promised everybody something that they want. I think Gaetz was even going for some chairmanship, and it's like, yeah, just give it to him and then you get his vote. That's how this stuff works, right? This is how the process has been done for the past 100 years. And by the way, this is the first time in 100 years since 1923 we've had this many ballots for Speaker without having a Speaker. So that's how rare and historic, stupidly historic this all is. But then, too, to your point, Fernando, could it actually go to a different person? Again, it seems in all the discussions and everything, and again, it could be figured out in 12 hours. We don't know. TBD. But could they actually just choose someone who's not Kevin McCarthy? And that would be, in theory, someone else who's in leadership, like a Steve Scalise, who's second in command, or Elaine Stefanik, who's third in command. Or could it just be a random moderate who, you know, again, maybe they can even get some Democrats to vote for a moderate Republican.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at a true coalition Speaker for good or ill going forward.
Jim Jordan seems like he's a character from Midsommar, and he's like, I don't want to be the prom king. I don't want, because, you know, he knows he's about to get eaten up and burned alive. When it comes to Chip Roy, this is what he had to say about Donalds. Again, Byron Donald's name being tossed around here. Roy says, "We don't seek to judge people by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character." It's the most overused term of all time. MLK is like, I said that. That was one thing.
Right. Right.
He goes on right. to say.
One time.
One time. He goes on to say, "Byron Donalds is a good man, raised by a single mom. Move past diversity." I don't know how he's moved past diversity, but he has. "He moved past diversity, became a Christian man at the age of 21, and has devoted his life to advancing the cause for his family and this country. And he has done it admirably." So he has someone like a Chip Roy in favor of him. And Byron Donalds, yeah, talk about someone kind of coming out of left field here.
Yeah.
That would be quite fascinating. Donalds is now, of course, he was elected in 2020. And right. He won a 9-way Republican primary by just 700 votes.
Wow.
So he's been there for a minute. Just right. over a minute, and his name is being tossed around here. So that's kind of interesting. You wonder if perhaps they think him being newer to the House, they could manipulate him more. But as you said, Travis, McCarthy is giving them everything they want. So this is just hyper personal.
Mm-hmm. Or like Fernando said, obstructionist to be obstructionist. Or chaotic to be chaotic. I mean, you're absolutely right. Byron Donalds having only been elected in 2020, doesn't have all the experience, but he also, maybe that's a plus for these 20 or so Republicans. Maybe they don't want a swamper, right? Like Kevin McCarthy, who's been in there since the Tea Party takeover in 2010, who can go down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss the ring and go out for a weekend and raise $500 million for whatever candidates he wants. Maybe they see that as bad. And if that's the case, I highly recommend they get their support behind a new representative from New York. His name is George Santos.
George Santos.
That's the compromise candidate. That's what America deserves at this point.
Oh, this just in. George Santos has died the ninth time.
Oh, no.
Ninth he time. Chose his last life.
And it turns out his real name was Byron Donalds.
Whoa. He's not. Wow. Look at that. Speaking of 2010, that was when Dennis Hastert agreed to pay $1.8 million in hush money. Mm. But then he never did that. So lawyers are now seeking that in a civil trial. Hastert's verbal agreement to pay $3.5 million to buy the silence of a man he abused as a teenager amounted to a legally binding contract. So that's the a relatively recent.
Wow.
Speaker this is of very recent. The House.
So. Yeah, the Republicans sure know how to choose them. Great job.
Yes. Hastert sexually abused at least 4 males between the ages of 14 to 17 when he was at Yorkville High School.
Good.
Hastert was in his 20s and 30s. So anyway, you never know who these freaking people are until you do. So we can imagine some of the backdoor or backroom bickering that goes on between assholes all around. It is a douchebag firing circle. We'll see what ends up happening. But as Travis said, it's been 100 years since we've seen something like this. And at least, again, they're not storming the Capitol and they don't have a man wearing the skull of a moose
right.
taking a dump on the American flag. Anyway,
I just wish they would get to work, Ben. They just came back from a really long vacation. Didn't they have the lame duck? Wasn't that like
I'm starting to think I don't want them to get to work. You know, that's kind of maybe this is just best for them. All right. Well, moving on to Donald Trump and the midterms. The fallout continues. And of course, McCarthy is another symptom of the larger disease that is Donald Trump. And, of course, the fallout of 2022. So Donald Trump, in one of the most ironic things you could ever imagine, he blames Roe v. Wade being overturned for the reason why he lost the midterm election. He says, "It wasn't my fault." Now, the irony here is, of course, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch are the three people that he put on the Supreme Court. And without right. them, Roe v. Wade would not have been overturned.
Right.
So you wonder if he even understood what he was doing. And when I read this, it does bring to mind what a useful idiot for the conservative yes. religious right Donald Trump was. Donald, do you think you were used?
I don't think I was used. I put all three of those people. They all said that Roe v. Wade was established law. They said it under oath. They said it in front of the Senate. I believe them.
You believe them.
I believe them. I believe them so bad. Nobody believes them more than I did. And I was played. And the American people were played. And then Roe v. Wade fell. And then my candidates lost. Not my fault.
No, well, it is entirely your fault because you understand if you didn't appoint them to the Supreme Court, because I'm assuming you didn't really vet them. Did you vet them at all? Did you speak with them or anything like that?
Look, no one loves the vets more than me.
No, not that.
I love the vets. Yeah. I love the vets. They fixed my dog. They fixed my cat.
I thought you were going to say veterans. Melania, you're literally talking about vets.
Melania was the one who lied to me. Melania was the one who told me to put them on the court. And so I did. And I said, baby, this is all you. This is all your fault.
It's Melania. I'm sure that she's paid for an abortion. Or sure you have paid for an abortion or two for the old Melania as well. Yes. So Trump wrote on Truth Social, it wasn't my fault the Republicans didn't live up to the expectations in the midterms. I was 233 to 20. It was the abortion issue. Poorly handled by many Republicans, especially those that firmly insisted on no exceptions, even in the case of rape, incest, or life of the mother. That lost large numbers of voters. So I don't think that he's necessarily wrong.
No.
I also don't think that he is a fucking victim because, again, that was his platform.
There was a quote where he says that they got their wish and then just plain disappeared. So basically, he knew what he was giving them, but he just they didn't do the tit for tat. They basically he got a bum deal. They ran out on him.
Well, you know, the conservative right, the religious right, my parents are very religious, very pro-life. And this is something that this is why a lot of them were able to be part of the Trump coalition. He gave them everything he wanted. And also this is why people are looking at Ron DeSantis and they're going to quickly throw Donald Trump away. And he's going to learn. And I think he is learning just how fickle American politics are, even more fickle than the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And now he's just going to be trash. Also, when it comes to the speakership, Donald Trump, a former president, even if he was current president, it is really rare that a president or a former president would even be engaged in what the House of Representatives is doing.
Right.
This is obviously not his branch of the government. He's an executive. This is Congress. And many people don't even think that Trump's name should be brought up in the situation. But of course, he is the cloud that continues to block the sun. So,
yeah. And don't forget that also, I mean, it's very rare for a former president to be as involved in the midterm elections after he's not even president anymore as he was. It's fascinating that, again, even his excuse of abortion is indirectly somehow his fault. But it takes away from what actually happened. We all know, and Mitch McConnell has said, and that is the quality of the candidates that Trump picked just wasn't good. Dr. Oz, Herschel Walker. I mean, these people are never going to run for office again for a good reason, because they were never qualified to do it the first time.
Absolutely. Herschel should run with the football, but not for office. Trump added to your point, Fernando. Also, the people that pushed so hard for decades against abortion, they got their wish from the U.S. Supreme Court and just plain disappeared.
Right.
Not to be seen again. Plus Mitch stupid ass.
I'm sorry, what? Hold on. Back that beep, beep, beep. Back that up. I want to hear it again.
Or is it plus Mitch stupid? It's a money sign.
Yeah, it's ass.
So anyway.
Stupid bitch ass something.
I don't know. And of course.
He's talking about Mitch McConnell.
He hates Mitch and he hates Elaine, even though she was in his cabinet. And he continues to utter racial slurs against her. A beautiful woman who honestly is way too hot for Mitch McConnell. And it's upsetting and I don't want to talk about it. So, all right. Well, just lastly, a few stories here that matter the most to me. Oh, my goodness gracious. So in Louisiana.
This one matters to me a lot, too.
This one matters to me. Yeah. So in Louisiana, you now need a government ID to access Pornhub. What is going on? The new law makes porn sites liable for content deemed harmful to minors if it doesn't install age verification technology for anyone accessing them in Louisiana. Note to self, don't go on tour in Louisiana. The law was signed by Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards. This is where the left gets exceptionally annoying. Leave us alone. And please, God, give us menthols back because their policy is extremely racist by banning them. But anyway, he goes on to say this is the law passed as Act 440. Any commercial entity that knowingly and intentionally publishes or distributes material harmful to minors on the internet from a website that contains a substantial portion of such material shall be held liable if the entity fails to perform reasonable age verification methods to verify the age of individuals attempting to access the material. My question is this. Don't you just say yes?
Yeah.
It's like, when it's are you 18 or older? Yeah. Now, I learned that trick a long time ago.
Yeah. But now it's going to check your ID, I guess against a government database.
Which is absolute government overreach. Also, when it comes to harmful to minors, there's a lot of things that are very harmful to minors. And yes, these kids got a lot more porn than we did growing up. But I just can't imagine it's the number one issue facing the youth of Louisiana. A state that is, not exactly doing great economically. And of course, when it comes to education, maybe they should focus on that.
Well, I want to say some stuff in perspective. Okay. Do I think it's an issue that King Solomon, who had 600 wives, was able to see less boobs than a 15-year-old? Yes.
Hey-oh.
You know, that's a 15-year-old has access to an infinite number of boobs. But where is the parental responsibility here? If your child has access to the internet, then it's your job to protect, to put safeguards in, to put parental guidance, suggestion in there.
Also, whoever wrote this act, this bill is just straight up horny. So the act is defined as it's for Puritan interests. Hmm. And that consists of, quote, pubic hair, anus, vulva, genitals, or nipple of the female breast.
Oh.
Only the female breast, of course. Touching, caressing, or fondling of nipples, breasts, buttocks, anuses, or genitals. Sexual intercourse, masturbation, sodomy, bestiality, which does not exist on Pornhub. Oral copulation, flagellation, excretory functions, exhibitions, or any other sexual act. And lacks, and then quote, and lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I've seen True Anal, and when I think about policy, I say yes.
Yes.
Let's do this. Let's all work together.
Good grief. The legislative aides writing that are just getting so hard and worked up right now.
Also, how do they know all these things? Oh, the guy who added bestiality is just the only one who's like, you're looking at Cowboys for Trump fucking cows? Is that what you're looking at, buddy?
Don't get coy with me. My God, the verification process to watch porn in Louisiana is more strenuous than the verification process to run for Congress in New York.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
And of course, get a firearm. It sucks. I think it's total overreach. And a digital driver's license for Louisianians, the LA wallet, is what it's called. Now has to be put in there. Other major adult sites, including X Videos and X Hamster, are still accessible from Louisiana as normal. So this only goes against Pornhub, which is quite interesting.
Good grief.
And when it comes to OnlyFans, they already do age verification. Yeah. So this is according to a representative, Lori Schiegel. Yeah, she's no fun. She says, pornography is destroying our children and they're getting unlimited access to it on the internet. And so if the pornography companies aren't going to be responsible, I thought we need to go ahead and hold them accountable. Shut up.
Ugh.
Take care of your kids. You can have little programs on your TV screen. Also, maybe don't give them a smartphone. My kid's getting a brick. What do you need? You need a text and call.
That's it.
And
right?
Maybe check email. But no, there's no need for any of this stuff. So. Also in New York, an interesting law that I'm not exactly against, but I could also see it going in a different direction that could be negative. New York will no longer prosecute children under the age of 12. Now, one thing that we do have in this country is a problem when it comes to incarcerating our youth. I don't think that if you're under the age of 12, you fully understand what you're doing or the lifetime consequences of your crimes. This bill does not extend to murder. So if you do commit an act of murder at 12, you still will be facing serious punishment. The bill was signed by Kathy Hochul. It raises the lower age. It raises the lower age of the state's jurisdiction for juvenile delinquency, a move that will prevent those under the age of 12 from arrest, except for in the case, again, as I said, of homicide. Before the prior law was anyone between the ages of 7 and 18 could be charged as a juvenile delinquent, and 7 years old to have a rap sheet is 7 year olds just make stupid decisions. And so I don't know. What do you guys think? The only downside I could think of is there is gang activity and they want to go steal something. Just be like, Timmy, you're 10. Go do it. There's no consequences. It's like that Offspring song where it's like, I'm 8. Whatever, I'm not 18 yet. I'm not 18 yet, so I can get away with it is the gist of the song. I'm so old sometimes. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think what you mentioned is a really important key takeaway, Ben. There is ways to circumvent, like you could have a, you know, under 12-year-old commit crimes for gangsters. Do I see that happening? Probably, you know, it might occur here and there. But I think, especially if you're under the age of 12, you're probably going to rat out the older dudes anyways. But this is what I want to see the country go towards, because there's no rehabilitation when you put a 7 to 12-year-old in juvie. You know, you're just sending them to criminal camp.
At that point.
So this is
not to mention the molestation and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Not even the things he will be exposed to by guards, older inmates.
I mean, you think about Khalif Browder, who was older. I think he was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
But when he got wrongfully accused and sent to Rikers, I mean, he ended up committing suicide after 2 years.
And that's what this makes me think of, is just all the other criminal justice reform measures New York could be taking, right? Some of the most draconian drug laws in the country, Rikers Island, like you mentioned, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have people floated the idea of reforming that or closing that?
And now we have Eric Adams, the man again, who only beat me by a mere 98%.
We're still counting the votes.
We're still counting, but he was shutting down libraries, increasing funding for the NYPD, now incarcerating people who they deem mentally ill. And I understand you do want to have treatment for the mentally ill. People who are on the streets there, because quite frankly, you freeze to fucking death in New York. But I don't think that's...
jail is not it.
Right? You know, Eric Adams, I think, is proving to be Giuliani 2.0, and it's really quite sad. But go on, Travis.
You're 100% right. I saw him do a press conference just a few weeks ago where he's literally wearing NYPD garb. You know, he's basically tapping back into his Republican and police officer roots on not just visually, but obviously policy-wise. Meanwhile, he can park his car on the sidewalk or wherever the hell he wants.
Dude, he just gets hammered every night. Like, literally. He's just like a party. He's a horrible piece of shit. But anyway, going back to this law, there was 800 children arrested last year. I'm sorry, by police in 2019, that was. They were under the age of 12. Now, in New York City, about 90% were Black or Hispanic. So I think this is a good way to help kids not get caught up in the system. Because, again, once you're caught up in the system, it's brutal and cold. And
you never seem to get out.
You never seem to get out, no matter what. Even once you do your time, you still have to, first of all, pay back. You have restitution to the state, and then good luck getting a job, especially if you don't have a family member who has a business or something of that nature. So I think that overall is positive. And then, speaking of children, something that I'm not, I don't know, New York City or New Jersey, the mask mandates are back in some school districts, but I can't imagine that the kids are too thrilled about that. But anyway, it's tough to be a kid out there.
It is. It's crazy. Yeah. TikTok in your brain and, you know, jail time and fines, cameras everywhere.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Just ask George Santos. He was arrested 9 times as a kid.
Yes, and of course, molested by Dennis Hastert.
That's probably true. Honestly, that's probably true.
That's possible. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. This is the first episode of 2023. We're going to keep you updated on this news the best we know how. And hope everyone has a great rest of their day, and we'll be back later on this week with more news. All right, everyone, hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.